Well, we can probably start without a quorum because we've got, this is a report, and Commissioner Novick is here, so.
We have three. Can we, did I see Mr. Whitmark there?
I didn't see him, but he might be. Well, this one's, this is only going to take 10 minutes, so we can, it's 9:45, so we should go ahead and do it. All right, council will turn to order, please, and let's take item 217.
217, accept and appropriate a grant from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management Pre-Disaster Mitigation Grant in the amount of $526,257 for the City of Portland Residential Seismic Strengthening Project.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, citizens, this is an exciting day. We all know how hard Carbon and your team work to make the city resilient, to use Commissioner Fish's favorite word, expanding our net teams, and working on ways to address the risk posed by unreinforced masonry buildings, engaging the oil companies to talk about how we can make sure that our critical energy infrastructure doesn't collapse. And we also, of course, have done outreach to citizens to ask that, to tell them what they can do to be ready. And one thing we say again and again is that they should be, in the words of the Talking Heads, bolting down the house. There are up to 100,000 homes in Portland that were built before there was a requirement to bolt the homes to their foundations. A few years ago, with the help of Congressman Blumenauer, we grabbed a leftover piece of an old FEMA grant to help a couple of dozen people retrofit their homes. And we've worked with Clean Energy Works now and Habit to provide long-term low-interest loans to pay for the portion of retrofit. They actually now do that for everybody, whether it's in the context of some grant agreement with FEMA or not. So this year, we asked FEMA for a standalone $500,000 grant to pay for half the cost of retrofitting 150 homes. Now, FEMA spends billions of dollars a year, as you know, responding to emergencies. Last year, they only allocated $30 million to pre-disaster mitigation projects. So, and most of that is allocated in some way and is not available for competitive project applications like this. So only about $11 million was available for competitive applications. So $500,000 is actually a significant percentage of the total amount that FEMA had available for this kind of project, which means that we were pretty darn competitive. This next year, Congress has seen fit to authorize $90 million for pre-disaster mitigation, and we hope that that's a trajectory that will continue, and in years to come, there will be billions allocated. And we're glad that we've got, you know, we hope that we were establishing an ongoing claim to that money for this kind of work. So I'm just pleased as punch about this. Went to a house yesterday where, you know, on Madison Street Southeast, where the homeowner was saying that she signed up to be one of the applicants for the grant because she read the New Yorker article and said, gosh darn it, we've got to do something. We actually had thousands of people sign up to apply. We could only accommodate 150, but that means that there's thousands of people we were able to get information about what they can do to retrofit their homes, which for most people only cost between $3,000 and $8,000. So now I'll shut up and turn it over to Carmen and to Tim Miller, the CEO of Inhabit.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mayor Carmen Merlo, Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. Before I start, I do have two non-material amendments I'd like to introduce. The first is under Section D. We're literally just rounding the dollar amount up to $526,257. The second amendment is part of the fiscal impact statement. We're correcting the first fund number and just adding two additional commitment items. So these are both non-material amendments, and I want to introduce that before we start. I'm so proud of this grant for a couple of reasons. As Commissioner Novick said, FEMA doesn't allocate very much money towards pre-disaster mitigation. We were the only funded project in FEMA Region 10, and we're one of only three seismic mitigation projects in the entire country. So we're really proud about this grant. One of our goals after an earthquake is to keep people in their homes. And that's because Hurricane Katrina taught us that when people are displaced from their homes, their neighborhoods, their city, The chances of them coming back are very small, and that slows down the city's economic and social recovery. So we're so proud about this grant and our partnership with Inhabit. When we announced the earlier press release to apply for the grant, it was coincidentally the same exact day that the story in the little-known magazine, The New Yorker, came out, and we received an overwhelming request for people who wanted to sign up. And so to tell you more about that project, I want to turn it over to Tim Miller from Inhabit.
Thank you, Carmen. Mayor, Commissioners, thanks very much for the opportunity to speak with you this morning about this really important resilience work celebration of landing a grant from FEMA. Just a very quick background, since I know most of you are quite familiar with Inhabit, formerly Clean Energy Works. We were started in 2009 and 2010 right here in this building, and started off as Clean Energy Works Portland, and now we are Inhabit. And we've been collaborating with the city ever since, and we, as you know, got a federal grant and then follow-on state support to expand our work. And so we've built this infrastructure of a really expert team of folks who know how to work with homes and homeowners, and we have systems and things to help manage these projects and make it go smoothly for those homeowners. So while we're doing this resilience work and energy efficiency work, we're also creating great jobs. We have equity requirements in the jobs that we create, and we're more and more addressing homeowners who might not otherwise afford this work. So that's our work, and we've done about 5,000 homes in Oregon and 3,200 homes right here in Portland with our energy efficiency and other upgrades. And that, while we've been doing that, we've created over $74 million of great job-creating economic activity. So I'm really excited to join the Commissioner Novick and Carmen in celebrating today, because this is the result of 3 years of work. I checked back in my email records, and that's when the emails began on this whole effort. And we saw this vision that this energy work could be coupled with seismic work. Once you're in the home and sometimes opening up walls, it makes a lot of sense to, as the commissioner said, bolt down the house. And there was, fortunately, a prescriptive path already adopted by the city, adopted by BDS with FEMA guidance, for very efficient, effective ways to address most homes without doing a whole lot of engineering work. So the prescriptive path was a key ingredient. We saw the big opportunity to combine this work together. We did a cost-benefit analysis in partnership with the state and with Carmen's team to look at what kinds of upgrades would be clear cost-benefit for the homeowners and for and have a good return on the investment in these homes. And so we built a program. We engaged contractors. We recruited a whole bunch of homeowners who wanted to do this work. And we did those first 23 homes, which you see here on this map. These are the first 23 homes or a couple dozen homes that the commissioner referenced. With that success and a very successful collaboration and a good report to FEMA, we saw the chance to expand this, and so we put in for this next grant. As you heard, overwhelming response from Portlanders interested in doing this work. Thousands of people, frankly, signed up. So a huge increase in this awareness of the importance of this risk in the past year. So we're really excited to do this next wave. Monday we were at this home, as the commissioner mentioned, and met the family there and their interest in doing this work. By the way, in between this time, we've also done another 40 homes of people who didn't need any grant funding. People are going forward with this work without any support. You see the additional dots on the map here of the next wave of homes that did it without grant help. And so we met this family here that you see, and there are five kids, and it's a beautiful older home, typical Southeast Portland home. It needed this upgrade, and each of these homes that has this work done is really an island of resilience if we have an incident, and which is expected in the next few decades. These homes are also examples of resilience for their neighbors, showing how this work can be done, how it's not that expensive, how it's fairly simple to do this upgrade and have one's home protected for the future. Our homes are often our biggest asset, and if we can protect those with a small investment to keep the home inhabitable or repairable in the event of a big earthquake, it makes a huge difference. And actually, it comes down to sometimes the difference between being displaced or being able to stay in Portland. So this is great work. From an equity perspective, half of the homes that will be addressed in this grant are below the median value of homes in Portland. So we're making sure to keep equity considerations in this work. With that, we have six contractors doing this work, and we're creating opportunities for those workers as well. Now, one other comment on this next wave of 150 homes, thanks to the FEMA grant, these homeowners will receive 50% incentives to do this work. It's a good example of how public investment can be paired with private capital, and the financing that we help arrange for these homeowners to do this work and mobilize this activity. But we know that we can get a whole lot more homes done even with lower incentives. We don't need a full 50% incentive, at least not for some folks. For folks who wouldn't otherwise afford it, certainly those incentives are key. But with the huge interest from Portlanders in doing this work, we know we can get more work done and don't need a full 50% incentive. So we think there are opportunities here to make every public dollar go further in the future. The possibility of an additional investment from the City of Portland for another $500,000 would really multiply this impact from the federal grant, build on this infrastructure we've created, build on this process we've created, and get more homes done and more work done. You know, there are 100,000 homes in Portland that need this kind of work. They're older homes that are not attached to their foundation. And there's huge potential and leverage in doubling down on this FEMA grant if you so choose. But with your approval to accept this FEMA grant, we look forward to working with the homeowners and the contractors and with Carmen and her team to go do this good work. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. Any questions?
Yes, I do. First, thank you very much, Director Merlo, for briefing me on this, and obviously it's a great program. I'm a little concerned. I didn't see the map before, and there are only 13 homes east of 205 that are on the list. So I'm wondering about the equating of lower than median home value with actual low-income families and communities of color, and how will you check on your equity analysis of who's benefiting?
I'll take the question first, and I'll pass it over to Tim. I think there's two reasons to account for that. One, keep in mind that many homes east of that 205 are actually newer homes and don't need this work. We also wanted to make sure that in order for the home to qualify, it has to be an eligible home that's capable of meeting the prescriptive requirements that are put out by the Bureau of Development Services. So if the house doesn't have a continuous foundation, if it's on a steep slope, if it's in a floodplain, it wouldn't qualify. But I think the answer for why there's so few homes on east of 205 is because they're, quite frankly, they are newer homes and don't need the retrofitting.
And I've loaded up here the next map, which shows the dots for the next 150 homes, so you can see that footprint a little more clearly. You see beginnings of some homes east of 205, but with Carmen's points taken.
So are you going to be checking the demographics, both the income and ethnicity and racial makeup of the folks who get the benefit of this?
We didn't have the luxury of being able to track demographics. When we submitted the application, we had to have the homes pre-identified, and we did that through the 4,000-plus waiting list that we had after we did the press release. All we were able to get at that time was the address of the home and then look at tax records. That is all we had the opportunity to do before we had to submit the application.
Right, and we're hoping this is going to snowball and continue to keep going. So it would be possible once folks show up to do the work for them to at least track who's inhabiting the house.
Yes.
And to ask, you know, people don't have to give, but to ask about income so that you could give a report to council on who benefited from this so that we know moving forward how to refine the program to make sure that more people who are truly in need, not that these people aren't, these homes, obviously everyone needs to be done, so that's it's going to be a good start. I think, though, given the limited funding, I know that you share our the council's commitment to making sure that we correct some of the mistakes of the past.
Yes, absolutely. We can ask those questions.
Carmen, I have a question.
Commissioner, I just wanted to say that the ability of PBIM to do outreach to various communities or to anybody actually is limited by the fact that we're a 15-person bureau with only one person that does outreach of any kind, and maybe in the future we can take advantage of other bureaus' ability to do outreach and identify people in various communities who could benefit from similar work.
Be happy to partner with that. Obviously, Environmental Services is a much bigger bureau, but they do contract with some of the district coalitions, and we need to continue to expand working with the diversity leadership partners to facilitate that, and I'd certainly be happy to help with that.
Thank you.
Carmen, first of all, superb presentation. but it's got me thinking. So when we think about a healthy and safe home and where we touch potentially a homeowner or a renter, there's a whole array of things we care about. So I'm thinking just out loud. Commissioner Saltzman sends firefighters to knock on people's doors to make sure their smoke detector is working. And in the course of that conversation, they may identify other fire hazards like newspapers next to the fireplace or electrical outlets that are overburdened or whatever. So that's one thing. We know that there's some homes built between 1970 and 1985 that are there is some risk that lead was used in the soldering. And there's some there's a narrow window of homes, but we know that's a risk, and we communicate with them and tell them, you know, you should have your water checked. There's radon. There's this very outstanding effort to make sure the home is stable in the event of a seismic event. I wonder at some point if we could kind of create a laundry list of the things we care about, because with a great partner like you, I would like to see how much of this we can leverage off of one visit. And one of the challenges we often have, particularly as you're talking about an older property owner, a renter, the challenge you have is the trust factor of getting in the door,
right,
which is why Commissioner Saltzman is bullish on having a firefighter make that contact, because a firefighter can often get build a trusting relationship and get into someone's house, you know, be invited in. So what I would urge us to do is maybe think holistically about whatever, the 10 things that the county and the city care about, particularly with struggling homeowners, and how might we leverage the relationship, mm-hmm. because as long as we got someone getting in the house doing one thing, your folks are eminently qualified to expand the scope of what they do, and there may actually be a huge benefit to the city of that marginal dollar that we put in and the checklist of things that we check for, because we want to make sure they're safe today and in the event in the future there's an event. So
yeah, that's
food for thought.
That's a good suggestion, and you know, we're contemplating bringing forward to council this idea of requiring disclosure of seismic and energy performance for houses, as we now do for commercial buildings. And so if we do that, we ought to do that, you know, holistically as well. What are the really important things that need to be disclosed to a potential purchaser of a building, in this case a house? Seismic is obviously one of them. Energy is obviously another. How far down that road do we go? It's worth having the conversation.
And if you've already got a relationship with Inhabit, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, maybe the Water Bureau figures that there's for a reasonable additional incremental cost, we could do a little outreach about, have you had your water tested? Have you thought about these various options?
Yeah, it's worth looking into.
It's a great suggestion. Questions. Thank you.
So we'll see if anyone else wants to speak on this item. Commissioner Novick moves the housekeeping amendments
Second.
That Carmen has provided to us. Any further discussion about the amendments?
Actually, there's an additional housekeeping amendment that we need. One more time, we have to thank the eagle eye of Commissioner Fritz. We have a leftover emergency clause from the previous item. The council declares an emergency exists because the close date for this grant application is August 28th. I think that we should revise that to an emergency exists because Carmen, I'm sleepy. Can you help me by suggesting some emergency language?
Well, the sooner that we can get this grant approved, the sooner we can start reaching out to the homeowners and start scheduling the contract work.
Okay. Second.
That sounds like a fine rationale.
We have three amendments, in effect.
Friendly amendments to improve the ordinance. Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak on this item? So let's act on the amendments first. Roll call vote, please, on those.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And on the ordinance as amended.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to Director Merlo, to our valued community partner, and especially to Commissioner Novick, who is the most enthusiastic person on this particular issue that I have come across in a long time. I'm happy to report that my house, built in 1991, is bolted to its foundation. I recently discovered that at the urging of Director Merlo. And now others will be able to look and see whether their homes need retrofitting. I do believe, as I mentioned, that we need to be very mindful of who is benefiting from these scarce resources, and I know that Director Merlo and her staff and Commissioner Novick share that concern, as does Inhabit. So it's a great thing, and thank you for putting it on the time-certain agenda to bring attention to it. Aye.
Fish?
Thanks for the presentation. We really appreciate the partnership. I remember when we launched that relationship six or seven years ago, and it's been a fantastic relationship. And
thank you.
Perhaps there's a way to expand it as we've discussed. And I just want to say, Mayor, the other day I had a chance to attend a Disaster Policy Council meeting, and I'm ready to award Carmen the best in class in terms of managing a meeting in city government. Boy, does she run a meeting efficiently and effectively. So thank you for your service. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, congratulations on getting this FEMA grant. It sounds like it was really hard fought after, and we're lucky to have received so much. And appreciate the partnership with Inhabit to help make more seismically retrofitted homes. Aye.
Novick.
In addition to thanking Carmen and her team and Tim, I'd like to once again thank Jay Hutchins and Carol Studenman, who drew this issue of Unbolted Houses to my attention in late 2011, or maybe it was early 2012. Thank the folks at FEMA Region 10 that fought for this item for us at the national level. And again, thanks to Catherine Schultz of The New Yorker for writing an article that happened to break the day we asked people to put in their names and houses for this application so that we had 5,000 applicants. Aye.
Thanks.
Well, $526,257 is a lot of money, but it's just a start at the cost of this really big job. And so I know that may seem a little daunting, maybe not to you two, but to some of us. But you know, you think back on issues like recycling and energy conservation, you know, some small efforts at the beginning did create momentum, and then people took off on their own, as you described. So I think this is going to be catalytic of that kind of progress, and I really appreciate the fact that we're getting this good start. So thank you all very much. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to